Welcome to Cheese, Wine, and Christmas, the magical podcast that will help you navigate the crowded world of sentimental holiday specials. Join hosts Brendan Bowes and Deirdre McCarthy as they discuss, critique, and lay bare your favorite Christmas movie tropes. So spike that eggnog and get ready for today's Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
Well. So hate to be getting to this point in the wind down with a fizzle.
Oh yeah.
But so happy Christmas Eve, right?
Yep. Merry Christmas Eve. Yeah.
Merry Christmas Eve. And our gift for you is to not make you watch
Christmas Break-In.
So it's funny to me how many movies are clearly made when somebody watches another movie and then gets drunk and thinks they can make their own.
Yep. I mean, that, I don't know. We have several in our library already.
Yeah. So this one is the poor man's Home Alone.
Yes.
Only our clever young whippersnapper is a girl, and she has not been left home alone, but she's been left at the school. So
again.
So let's start at the, yeah. So that's overall, that's how it resembles it. And there are robbers and there. So this really is Home Alone Christmas in school style. So
right.
let's start at the beginning. We've got a family getting ready as always. This is how we learn.
It's the burglary that's first.
Oh, the burglary. See, that's how painful this was. I've wiped it out of my, yeah.
That's fine. No worries. So okay. So it starts off with three people coming out of the back of a store. We can tell that they've robbed it because they're trying to be sneaky. We have not a femme fatale, but like the bossy female lead, Barbie. Yeah.
B-A-R-B-I, Barbie.
Yep. Her boyfriend, Rico, who I guess is also a bodyguard for her, and Barbie's brother, Ned, who is a bit of a clumsy.
He's the bumbly. He's the slightly overweight, bigger than him. He looks like Baby Huey.
Goofy,
and he's wearing a name tag that says Ned. I don't know why.
So they load up the stolen goods in the car or in the vehicle. Yes. And the stolen goods turns out to be coins, just just coins.
Yeah, they couldn't get cash. They could get coins, but they're okay with that because money is money, right?
And apparently, two big bagfuls of coins
is enough
to make them rich.
It's enough to send them to, where does she want to go?
Antigua.
No, she doesn't want to go to Antigua. That's not where she wanted to go. Nope. Acapulco.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yes. Acapulco, which, by the way, is now completely crime ridden. And if you go to Acapulco, you're in danger of getting kidnapped and had your family harassed for ransom or you get murdered. So.
Wow. All right.
Yep. Just a little fun fact.
So it turns out that their escape vehicle is Ned's work vehicle, which happens to be an ice cream truck.
Okay, so he talks about this was, he had to get this from the company, right? Yep. So there's no explanation as to, like, as far as I know, ice cream trucks are independent contractors. So I don't know what company he works for that's an ice cream vehicle, an ice cream truck. Like, why? Right. Why did it makes no sense?
Well, one of many questions. Right.
So they're driving away in their stupid ice cream truck, which is freezing and bumbly. And then we meet the family.
Now we're at the family.
Okay. So we meet the family. The mom, Heather, is Denise Richards, looking a little worse for the wear. So she looks like from a distance pretty, but like up close. I got to tell you, really beautiful women should not get super skinny, especially as they get older. It's like all this pressure for them to be thin, but all it does is make them look like a cadaver.
Right. So, well, I'm guessing she had a lot of face stuff done.
Possibly. So we've got the embalmed version of Denise Richards as Heather, the mom. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't recognize the guy who's playing Pete, the dad. Did you recognize him?
He looked familiar. I couldn't place where I knew him from, but I'm checking right now to see if it's anything. I mean, it looks like he's just a character actor and is in every movie.
Yeah, we've probably seen him in a million things. So he's like your typical sort of goofy dad. We like to make fun of dads, so he's a goofy dad. And then there's our heroine, Izzy, who's the coolest looking 9-year-old, by the way. That is one thing. If I could have looked like her when I was nine, she's got this crazy curly hair that goes down to her waist. It's blonde and frizzy. She's like, I've got this little elfin face, and she's sassy as anything.
Very, very wise trope that we've super gone through. Trope,
wise young kids. Yeah. Wise young kids. And then there's her brother, Nick, and we've got the requisite fighting between brother and sister, them being mean to each other, and everybody's in a hurry, and breakfast is chaos because...
So the parents wake up with Fender guitar written on their foreheads because it's Christmas, and what Izzy wants is a guitar.
Yeah, but it's not the reason why it's written on their foreheads this day, right? By the way, she wrote it backwards so they would see it when they looked in the mirror correctly.
Right. Correct.
Right. So the reason why it's this day is because there is a one-day sale at the guitar store where everything is half off.
Correct.
She's been saving her money. So she's going to buy her own guitar. She's going to get all of the other stuff for Christmas, but she's going to buy her own guitar. She saved her money. One day half off sale for her. She's going to buy her electric guitar. She's going to buy her Fender.
Correct.
and she writes it on their forehead because they forget everything.
Correct. It's a reminder that today's the day.
Yeah. And we get sort of, we get a little bit of... an information dump during this scene where we realize how many times they have forgotten her recitals, her everything, her.
The parents are always on the phone. They're, I guess, both essential workaholics.
Yeah. So job. not mean people, just like working, they're crazy executive people working. And the brother is already like, they're going to forget. And you know, I'm going to have to take you when they forget, because they're definitely going to forget. So there's all this stuff about they missed their dance recitals. They miss everything. So they wipe off the stuff on their forehead. But in the midst of their chaos and breakfast, she manages to write a number 3 on her mom's hand, because that's what time she has to pick her up from school. I couldn't see what she wrote on her dad's. Did she write?
No, she drew a clock face and made the arms 3 o'clock.
Okay, so 3 o'clock, because don't forget to pick me up from school.
Correct.
Right. So I think we all can see where that's going, but that's for a little bit later.
Right.
We also find out that she takes guitar lessons from the janitor at the school. No explanation.
Which is something you hear all the time, which is why it's put in the movie.
Right. So the janitor, a large man of color, takes this young girl, this 9-year-old, white girl, into his office alone before school to teach her guitar. And I keep thinking, like, wouldn't it be nice if a person who is that talented and that nice could actually do that? But that would never in this day and age ever be allowed.
Right. And it seems like it's something that happens a lot. So
yeah,
I don't know,
it's like, and like nobody has a problem with it and nobody's complaining about it. The school doesn't care. The parents don't care. And I'm just like, wow, I'd love first of all, so we wouldn't let that happen because it's creepy age-wise. So on that level, it shouldn't happen. But on the mixed race, you know, older Black gentleman with young white girl, that actually shouldn't matter at all. But I think we all know in this day and age, it would.
Correct.
So double whammy.
Correct.
But here she is in his office playing guitar with him.
And doing some basic lessons right before she gets her own guitar.
Yep. And he's got some special guitar he doesn't use named Gloria that's up in glass on his wall, like honored.
Correct. Yep. So we should also mention that the janitor Ray is played by Danny Glover.
So Danny Glover is slumming it.
Yep. And his performance, I don't think he cared about this movie at all. He's just going through the motions.
I still would say he was better than anybody else in the movie.
Like, well, that's probably saying a lot, but he
him on his worst day is better than everybody else. So
true.
Okay. So then she goes off to class and she's disappointed because she wants to continue to play. And he says, come back at recess and I'll give you another lesson. I normally wouldn't go into this tiny little detail, but it sets up something for later. So we see her bored through class, like, oh my God, this day is never going to end because it's the last day of school. That's my dog in the background. So I am going to go. Yeah, special guest. So hang on one moment. Okay, we're back. Sorry about that little interruption. Eleanor, that's my dog. Eleanor did not like the movie either. So anyway.
Nope. Four paws down.
Yeah. So four paws down. So she is bored and she can't wait for recess. She goes to Ray's office for recess. Yep. And the only reason why this happens is because we need two pieces of information. And so whoever wrote this movie is like, okay, this is how we're going to get it. Yeah, information number one, he's got a large ring of master keys in his desk.
Yes.
So that's the first piece of information. And we see that because he goes into his desk to get something else. And she asks about it. Number two, we need to know that there is a vent in one of the classrooms that gets air from the basement or cold air from the basement because something is wrong.
Like it broke and the people who repaired it didn't do a good job. So it screwed up the whole system, I guess.
Yeah, something. And if you go in the basement, it's something about the basement and this vent and air coming through the vent.
Right.
So store that information for later, my friends. And now we are at almost 3 o'clock.
Yep, it's 2:59 and all the kids are just staring at the clock, including the teacher.
Yep. Cannot wait. By the way, we also in the middle of this day got to see a rehearsal of the Christmas Carol that they were going to perform that night, but they can't perform because a storm has come.
Correct. They were saying the storm is going to come during the night, but throughout the beginning, throughout the first third of the movie, it turns into the storm is fast and is now happening during the day.
Right. So we get to see the rehearsal. This is important because there's a stage, there's a microphone, and there is a fog machine.
Yes.
So that's how we learn. That's why we learn all of that. So it's 3 o'clock. It's snowing like bejesus and everybody's leaving. And she's sitting on the bench waiting for her parents. Meanwhile, back at her parents' company, because for some reason they work for the same company.
Yep. I found that weird as well.
Very weird. I think that was only for this next scene. It was simply for this next scene where I'm not sure I've ever seen this kind of overacting in a movie that's meant for adults. So this looked to me like if you've ever watched kids shows on Nickelodeon, like this is what this scene reminded me of.
Yep.
So they're up to their like ears in work. Things
People are just dropping folders on their desks. And I guess that means they have to do it right now.
Right. And then she's like, oh no. And then one of Heather's coworkers happens to stop him to say goodbye and Merry Christmas and asks her what the three on her hand is, which begins something out of, I don't know, Three Stooges or it was
like Looney Tunes type Looney things. Looney
Tunes or what's the dirty old man that chases people? Benny Hill, like something like that, right? Yeah. So she realizes, oh no, we've done it again, calls the husband, and the two of them, really cartoon style, like we cannot emphasize this enough, go like bolting down the halls, bump into each other in the lobby.
They have bug eyes as they're running.
Ridiculous. Like seriously, the worst acting I've seen.
I mean, it's not only an actor's choice, it was a director's choice. I'm guessing a writer's choice.
Ripped choice. It was bad on every level.
Yeah.
So they jump in the car and they're hurtling towards the school. But in the meantime, we've seen everybody come and go get there. And poor Izzy is sitting alone on the bench in the freezing snow.
Yep. And even Ray is like concerned and offering if he could do anything.
He's locking up the school because he's the custodian. So he's locking up the school and he's going off. He's got a music gig that he's going to go play at. And he's very, very worried about leaving her there alone.
Right. And Izzy is brushing it off saying, no, no, I just got in touch with my parents.
Yeah, they're on their way. They're on their way.
So it also should be known her mom, Izzy's mom took her phone without realizing it. So she doesn't actually have communication with her parents. Yeah,
she doesn't have her phone.
Just, but is just brushing Ray off to go to his gig that she's fine and she'll be picked up.
But he says, well, all right, well, at least let me put you in the school where it's
warm. Yeah.
Right. So he lets her in the school, which would never happen because there's nobody in the school.
Right.
So, yeah. And he goes off. So he leaves this 9-year-old by herself in the empty school.
Now we head over back to the burglars who are still driving in their ice cream truck.
Yep.
And we learn that Ned did not go south like he was supposed to.
And he accidentally went north.
So that means they're driving into the snowstorm.
Yep. In their unheated ice cream truck. There's lots of hijinks in the truck and banter and fighting and scraping ice off the inside of the truck because they can't see out the window. And yeah. And so we realize that he's super bumbly, getting used by his sister, and that there's a lot of animosity towards him and Rico.
Yes.
Right? And Rico is very much in love with Barbie and constantly like trying to get a little something, something. And even though she pretends that she's his girlfriend or says she's his girlfriend, she's always rebuking him. So you get the feeling that she's basically using these two dudes for this money.
Right.
All right. So, a witness saw them. So it's been all over the news and they're being called the ice cream bandits.
Right.
So like now they have. Yeah.
Like the wet bandits from Home Alone.
Right. Right. Exactly. So now they have to get off the road.
Because they went the wrong way, they have to find a hiding spot in areas that they're not familiar with. And as luck would have it, Izzy's school is right there.
Right. They just happen to be driving by. They see the lights on. And here's where they start setting up something that to me also doesn't make any sense. So they refer to it as an abandoned school at first. And then she's like, no, it's not abandoned. It's probably just everybody went home for Christmas. So we start getting introduced to the idea that this school is somehow also a big, scary old building. Which, by the way, it's not. It was built in the 80s or 90s. It's not at all, but it gets referred to because that serves the plot.
Correct.
No other reason. And correct. And our first mention of that is that it's an abandoned old school, right? Yep. In the meantime, the parents are hurtling towards the school. So three things are happening simultaneously. The burglars are figuring out their plan. The parents are driving in ever worse snow. It's suddenly dark because time means nothing. And it was 3 o'clock and now it's dark. And I should say four things are happening. So they're hurtling towards the school. And they can't see and the snow is bad. Her older brother, extra little side story, who has a crush on some girl and he's at like a house party where they're all hanging out and trying to figure out how to make drones work.
Yeah, they're building drones.
They're building drones because that's, you know, what nerds do at parties. Sorry, Brendan. And
I've never built a drone.
Yet.
Very true, yet.
So anyway, they're building drones and he's worrying about his sister, despite them not getting, like he knows that his parents fuck up and he's found out that they're hurtling there now and he's worried because how could he ever go and be with her? The snow is too deep and how could he save her? And could he make it there before his parents? So he's got that going on. And then in the school, we have the poor man's version of the Home Alone scene where he runs around the house and eats whatever he wants and puts aftershave on and jumps on the bed. Only she runs through the halls, eats pudding in the cafeteria, plays music on the stage in the microphone from the other scene where they were going to put the play on.
Yep.
And talks on the intercom.
Yep. Tries to use the phones, but realizes the only thing that works is the intercom.
Right. So she sits and uses the intercom, and we get some exposition about her parents always leaving her. So, yeah. So all of that's happening simultaneously. Meanwhile, Ray has been called by the parents. He's also worried, and he's headed back as well with his dog,
Jet.
So everybody is heading towards the school.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So the burglars get into the school.
Yes.
Right. They're in.
Through crazy hijinks.
Crazy hijinks. And they're finally in, and Rico keeps accidentally getting hurt by Ned.
Yes.
And so there's more animosity. Now they're in. And by the way, Barbie is surprisingly psyched about this whole turn of events. She loves that they're in this school and everything's great. So, yeah. So what happens next is the next one to arrive is Ray.
Yes. So that Ray and Jet enter the building, and Jet immediately runs off. Mm-hmm. Ends up.
Ray doesn't seem concerned by that because he's off looking for Izzy. It doesn't occur to him that the dog might be finding Izzy, but whatever.
Right.
Another thing that doesn't work. Right. So he doesn't find Izzy, but he does find the robber.
The ice cream bandits. Mm-hmm.
The ice cream bandits. He sees the bags of change and he's like, what the? And they sneak up from behind. Next thing we know, he's tied to a chair. The dog has found Izzy. Yep. Meanwhile, in other areas, her parents have smashed into a tree.
Yep.
And done a cartoon Three Stooges, Buggy Eye, Looney Tune exit from the car where they fall multiple times.
Yep. And then there was a truck that they were trying to flag, and they both fell before they can get into the sight of the truck. So that's a no-go. And so they make the parental decision to walk to the school.
Right. In the freezing cold.
Yep.
By the way, and I say this as a side note because the movie treated this as a side note. The guy in the truck, who we see multiple times, he's in a giant truck that says something about it's from North Star, other. And he is a vague impression of Santa, basically. Where he's singing Christmas carols. He's driving around in the snow. He's got a beard and he's wearing
his name is Chris.
His name is Chris, as in Chris Kringle. And he's got a hat, Santa hat. So weird, unresolved, never really explained reference to Santa Claus. Right. So he's already passed them once. So that's happening over there. Ray is tied up in the school.
Yep.
And the dog has just come upon Izzy. Right? So Izzy and the dog go looking for Ray.
Yep.
Right? In the meantime, the brother and his friends are hatching a plan to get him to the school.
Yep.
Right? All we know is it involves a snowboard. And drones. We don't know what's going to happen, but that's what's going on over there. So I think we're caught up in all of the different areas. Izzy comes upon Ray and she just sort of peeks in the door and she can see what's going on.
And so she A, accepts that Ray has already been kidnapped, and B, already has a plan to help him.
Well, not right away. Ray says some things to the bandits that signal to her. He says, I can see you're very dangerous. And if I wasn't tied up, I would find a place to hide. Hint, hint, hint.
Oh, right.
Telling Izzy they're dangerous. So, but Izzy, who's our brave little fierce 9-year-old, is having none of that. So she begins planning her home alone effort. Escaped. Right. In the meantime, the parents have come upon a barn and are going to go warm up for a little bit.
Right. Well, so they find the barn.
This scene is only about giving us a Nickelodeon style Three Stooges hijinks scene. Yes. It means nothing else. So do you want to go through the hijinks, Brendan?
Yes. Yes, I would. Thank you.
Okay.
So they find the barn. They go up to the barn. So it's important to note that the barn is locked. Mm-hmm. The people who own this barn have protected their barn by locking the door. Heather is upset that the door is locked. Pete, the dad, comes around the corner and says, "Hey, look what I found." They go over to the side and it's a snowmobile.
Hmm.
Now you would
conveniently enough. Yes.
Right. So you would think a family that is smart enough to lock their barn would know how to keep their snowmobile safe, but they don't.
It's under a tarp. Come on, Brendan. It was under a tarp.
So the snowmobile is under a tarp. They're the means of protecting it, but the keys are in the ignition.
Right.
So the two of them just are like, all right, let's do this. Let's go. So they both jump on the snowmobile. Heather, the mom, says, "Be careful. I don't know. You don't know how to drive a snowmobile." And he's like, "Oh, I got it." So as luck would have it, he just goes in reverse.
Yeah, he does not got it. Turns out he does not got it. So he hurdles in reverse, this is my favorite part, a big hole in the barn. Is that like,
I don't know if it's in the barn.
Was it a separate shed or something? Because they made a big hole in a building and I thought, oh, this is how they're going to get in the barn to warm up.
I'm guessing it's the shed where the keys are, because then they walk through the door of the barn.
Well, they break open. They break open and they're in the barn, which has, for no reason at all, a Santa-like sleigh.
Yep.
A bunch of goats and a horse.
And a horse.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, totally what you find in a barn. And
oh my God,
they're not penned up at all. Everyone's just roaming around freely. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So he decides he's going to attach the horse to the sleigh and they're going to use that.
Yep.
But that's really just a setup for him. I know you guys did not see this coming, to turn around and turn his back to the horse while standing behind it, which everybody knows is a no-no. And he gets kicked and he goes flying into a hay bale.
Really, there's
no other reason for that moment other than comedic.
The slapstick comedy.
Yep. And then they tie a bunch of goats to the sleigh. And that doesn't work because goats don't pull sleighs.
Correct.
And then they see the same truck going by with the wannabe Santa Claus. And they this time manage to flag it down.
Yeah. Do we actually see them flag it down? Because I think
they come running out of the barn, waving their arms.
Okay. Because I told Deirdre before we started recording, I spaced out several times watching this.
It was easy.
And I saw them seeing the van, and then next thing I knew they were in the car. So I didn't know if they just...
Yes, they came running out, like, again, think the scene when they were running out of the meetings to go payroll.
Okay.
So, all right. So now we know that they're cool. They're going to make it to the school eventually. Okay. Yeah. Meanwhile, the brother is standing outside on a snowboard attached to drones like he's flying a kite. So if you can think about, I don't know, there's a skiing thing where you do that too, with like a...
Yeah, parachute. Yeah. So the friend is controlling the drone, sending it to the school, which is strong enough to pull a 130-pound guy in a snowboard.
I would say he was like 170, maybe even.
He was a bigger guy.
Yeah.
But it's done pretty flawless, where he's able to, you know,
just go hurtling through the woods.
Yep.
Okay. So we know that all the family members are hurtling towards the school. In the meantime, we've got Izzy tricking everyone. So remember that vent? Very important. Because now Izzy's down in the basement with her little head peering up in the vent, and she's blowing cold air into the classroom.
Right.
And Ray and her apparently are on some type of mind meld, because Ray immediately gets that she's going for a whole ghost thing, and he starts to imply that the place is haunted.
Right, because that room just starts getting cold out of nowhere.
Really, really cold. Then she goes and this is one of my favorites, she flips all the fuses to plunge the school into darkness.
Right.
Except all the Christmas lights still work.
Correct.
So the school is dark except for the Christmas lights. And Ray's it must have been the storm that knocked out the electricity. And I'm like, except the Christmas lights? Like, nobody mentions that at all.
Nope.
Bizarre. Yeah. So Christmas lights are working. No other lights are working. Cold air. her next step is to jingle chains on the
linoleum floor. Yeah,
but she's on the speaker system, for the announcement system. Right.
Okay.
And she's jingling the chains, and Ray starts to imply that there's some character that haunted the schools and he's really bad news. Barbie's having none of this. So the two guys are buying into it, but Barbie's having none of it. So she sends Rico out to see what's up.
Because there's what of all the stuff I didn't like in the movie, this one was the most annoying, is the sound effect just went on forever.
Yeah, actually, I twisted up a little bit. The chains haven't happened yet. This is the recording of spooky sounds that they use in the play. Remember, the reason why the play was shown. So she's got it on a tape, like a old little boom box.
Yep.
And it's hidden in the library or the science lab or something. She's playing spooky music. We haven't done the chains yet. That's right. And then Rico comes to find the spooky music. And just before he discovers the actual boombox, she, who's dressed in a weird costume that's supposed to be the ghost of Christmas, I don't know, past or
yet to come.
Yet to come. Right. Yeah. The Grim Reaper costume.
Yeah. Yep.
And she's been scuttling around. So he's seen this little like shadow running around.
Zipping around. Yeah.
Yeah. So he turns around and sees the mask face and he faints.
Yes. And now she doesn't tie him up
or secure him in any way. She simply says one down and off she goes.
Yep.
Right. Yep. So then we have the chains. And then that's really scaring
Ned.
And Ray is starting to get to Ned because he's a decent guy and basically trying to tell him he shouldn't be hanging out with these people and he should let him free. Right. And you would think at this point they would gag him, but instead Barbie just keeps telling him to be quiet.
Yep.
Right. So now Barbie's off to see what the chains were all about. And she notices the closet where they locked up their millions of coins is open and the coins are gone. So she goes running in to look, and as he locks her in the closet, says two down.
Right. Right. Now Jet is also in the closet too, right?
No. No, that's later. She's got Jet hidden away somewhere. Jet's the dog, by the way. So what happens is she still has her phone on her because it didn't occur to Izzy to take anybody's phones. So she's got her phone and she calls unconscious Rico and the phone wakes him up.
Yep.
And he basically says, it's not a ghost, it's a kid. So come get me. Rico was just left on the floor and not tied up, he's able to do that. Meanwhile, Ray's getting untied by Ned because he's finally talked some sense into him. But because we didn't secure the other two firmly enough, they come walking in and catch him. Right.
Right. So then Ned gets tied up along with Ray.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And Barbie is off to catch Izzy. Yep. And she basically goes on the intercom system and says, listen, you got 5 minutes to bring me my money or something terrible happens to Ray.
Right. Because they escalate the violence like that.
Yes. And they never say they're going to kill him. They just keep it implying something terrible is going to happen.
Right.
Right. So Izzy, because she's super clever, shows up in the room and is like, okay, I will show you. And she takes her for a long walk all through the school. Oh, we missed the part. I see, this is how ridiculous this movie is. At some point, Barbie gets pelted with tennis balls.
Oh, tennis balls, right.
Ball thrower, and she also, there's fog from the fog machine, and she tries to trip her with a tripwire. I gotta tell you, I honestly cannot tell you where in the movie that happens, but just know that that happens.
Yeah.
So now she's off, she's gonna show Barbie where the money is. Instead, she brings her to a room where the dog is, and apparently Jet has been trained to protect Izzy. I don't know how that
happens. Jet isn't a big, I mean, Jet's not a small dog, but he's not like a big scary dog.
He's a medium sized, friendly looking dog.
Right. But when he barks, his eyes like bulge out of his head and he actually looks kind of creepy.
Right. And he curls his lip and he's. So he holds Barbie hostage basically, because apparently she's terrified of dogs. And off Izzy goes to you know, set free.
Save Ray.
Yeah, save Ray. But in the meantime, Ned has gotten some cojones and got himself untied and attacks Rico.
Yep.
And ties Rico up. So now Ned and Ray are free. Izzy is heading back to them. They're rejoicing, and then everybody else arrives.
Right. So yeah, the parents end up in the school. They actually walk by Barbie, who's pulling the thing with the coins, and they're like, "Have you seen my daughter?" And Barbie goes, "She's your daughter," and basically calls Izzy a brat to her.
Yeah,
to
good her luck to you guys. And off right. she goes. Right. So she's loading up the truck. She's going to leave her two people behind, but everybody shows up. We could go over the details, but the bottom line is the police arrest everybody. But in this time period, during the conversations between Ray and Ned, we learned that Ray was also in jail at some point and has rehabilitated himself. And so he's going to be there for Ned. They've got this super friendship. As soon as Ned gets out of jail, he's going to have a job as Ray's assistant. And Ray just happens to know the prosecutor.
The district attorney is the bass player in his band.
Yeah, for no real reason, except that he's going to help Ned out. Meanwhile, Barbie and Rico deserve each other. They're in the back of the cart screaming and yelling. The parents are reunited and the son is there too. And they're like, "Oh my God, we're all back together. We're going to spend more time together. We love each other, blah, 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 blah.
We're going to be good parents." So their moment of clarity happens now.
Yep. And they invite Ray to Christmas dinner because Ray is alone. And Christmas Day. So the next shot is them all opening presents. Ray apparently stayed over because he's in his jammies and they're opening presents. And Izzy's brother gets her an amp, which just reminds us that she never got her guitar.
Correct. Well, the everyone says, you know, "We're sorry for not getting your guitar" several times over at this point.
Yeah, we're going to do it after Christmas. We're going to do it after Christmas. The parents give her a guitar case, which they bought her, you know, for in anticipation of the guitar she was going to buy herself. And then to the rescue, don't know if you could have seen this coming, Ray has brought Gloria with him and decided she shouldn't be in glass anymore. She should be used. And we have a big guitar strum from Izzy to send us into credits. End of movie.
Yep. Oh, that was a trip.
I'm giving this a 3, and the 3 is only for Izzy's hair. 3 points for Izzy's hair.
I'm giving it a 1.5, mm-hmm. and that is strictly for the after the credits outtakes.
Oh yeah, there were some good outtakes after the credits. Yeah, if you stuck around long enough. So yeah, so oh my God, what a way to almost end this trip. So we've got one last podcast.
Yeah, we got one episode left. Tomorrow, Christmas Day.
And we are I'm going to give a little spoiler alert here, Brendan. I'm going to tell people that we are, instead of watching a terrible movie, we're going to talk, Brendan and I, about our favorite Christmas movies and why. And so you should leave that podcast with a list of things to see if you haven't seen them already. And hopefully some good cheer. I just can't be mean on Christmas Day. So I got to talk about things I like.
Right. Yeah. So think of it as I don't want to say year in review, but a December in review.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the meantime, I'm going to go shove a bunch of candy canes in my face.
I'm going to grab some tennis balls and throw them at bad people.